This is Daguerreotypes, Masculist, MGTOW, Flyers. That is 2-3 page essays on the themes of masculism and MGTOW, written by and read aloud by Prof. Dr. Hugo Daguerreotypes. This is flyer number 577, entitled Why Masculists Feel Frustrated with MGTOWs. Description. This flyer explains why masculists feel so frustrated by the lack of political and legal savvy of MGTOWs, whom masculists see as being stuck and preoccupied in the first consciousness-raising stage of gender political development. Masculists see clearly what the feminists did after they came out of their first stage and moved on into the second major stage of political and legal changes in the 1970s, making major changes in the laws that benefited millions of women. Masculists see that men need to go through the same process, but the vast majority of MGTOWs don't see. Masculists see MGTOWs politically and legally as children, as naive and underdeveloped, lacking vision and political and social maturity. Now, the flyer itself. Why Masculists Feel Frustrated with MGTOWs, by Prof. Dr. Hugo Daguerreotypes. Email profhugodaguerreotypes@yahoo.com. Website profhugodaguerreotypes.wordpress.com. In a nutshell, because masculists feel that MGTOWs are a whole gender political stage of development behind the masculists. I need to explain, since most MGTOWs haven't a clue what I'm talking about, which is a major part of the problem that masculists have with MGTOWs. I need to give a bit of personal history. I'm a lot older than most MGTOWs, who are typically in their 20s and 30s. That is, I am over twice their age, at 75. Given my age, I was a young adult when second wave feminism got off the ground in the late 60s. Prior to that is during the decades that I was growing up in the 50s and 60s, women in the West were housewives, living off the money of their husbands. When I was 17, 18, once my brain had wired up in the adult pattern, I began to see my own mother as an inferior being, irrational, emotional, hysterical, unworthy of my respect. Sometimes I would observe the mothers of my classmates at the private school that my parents sent me to, and were shocked by the fact that these mothers were as vapid and boring as my own mother. And that realization made me cynical of women whom, as a late teenager, I saw as a distinctly inferior sex compared to men, who won the Nobel Science Prizes and invented nearly all the math and physics that I was so passionate about as a very young adult, a budding scientist who ended up with a prof doctor in front of his name. Then in my early 20s, still living in Australia, I had become convinced that my fate would be to simply get on a plane and migrate to a superior culture that valued my values, my sage, that is intellectual values, that is to Britain, which I did in 1971. By that date, second wave feminism was really getting off the ground, which pushed for female careerism, which I found a very exciting idea, since it offered the possibility, so I figured, to make women interesting, that is, capable of sharing my intellectual passions of math, physics, science, reason, logic, the life of the mind, knowledge, etc., rather than the vapid preoccupations of my mother's generation. So, of course, I plunged into the feminist literature and became an avid male feminist, building up quite a hefty collection of feminist books in my private library. However, over the years, the decades, that prospect that women would become interesting, according to my definition, never happened. I still see women as a genetically inferior species, a femalian, parasitic species that needs to be forced to pull their financial weight and not to parasite off the labour and money of a man. However, as a male feminist, I have to admit, I learned a lot from the feminists, the feminist theorists, whose history, whose intellectual and political development could be split into two broad phases or stages, that is, the consciousness-raising stage and the political stage. That awareness was burned into my psyche and plays a fundamental role in my Maskus thinking, even today. So I see Maskus thinking as following the same historical trajectory as feminist thinking, that is, that men's lib will need to go through the same two-stage, two-phase development as feminism did, and that the MGTOWs don't realise that yet and are still stuck in their ignorance and unawareness of the need for a second stage by being totally preoccupied by their first or consciousness-raising stage, talking endlessly about men's and women's traditional gender role consciousness, for example, how women exploit men financially, the horrors of the fluffy feminist-controlled divorce court system, etc. As a Maskus, I don't deny the importance of men first working through their first phase, their first stage consciousness raising, since there can be no second stage, that is the political stage, if there's no awareness of what political changes need to be made for men to increase the quality of men's lives. In the feminist case, as a result of much feminist consciousness raising, it gradually became clear just what political changes, for example, what changes in the law needed to be made to improve the lives of millions, later billions, of women. For example, by legislating equal pay for equal work, the abortion right, fault-free divorce, equal opportunities for women at work, equal access to the professions for women, the Equal Rights Amendment, ERA, etc. These legal changes that came about in the 1970s would not have happened without large numbers of women, feminists, and particularly professional feminists, becoming clear in their minds just what legal and social changes needed to happen to better the lives of millions of women. A similar logic holds also for men, but most of the MGTOWs are not yet ready to move on into the second stage, that is, the political and legal stage for men, since they are not yet clear in their own heads just what legal changes need to be made before they are actually implemented by the law and in the parliaments. In that sense, the Maskus feel superior to the MGTOWs in feeling that they are a whole gender political stage ahead of the MGTOWs in their gender political development. So in practice, the Maskus feel they have a major job ahead of them in teaching the MGTOWs about the need for the second stage. Too many MGTOWs in their tender age are rather clueless as to the bigger picture in terms of how current legal and political structures fuck up men's lives, that is, the lives of millions of men. Too many MGTOWs think that their personal problems are theirs alone, as individuals, rather than the consequence of macro, social, cultural, legal problems that need a legal, culture-wide solution. That is, that MGTOW too often thinks micro rather than macro in terms of solutions to men's problems. The Maskus see clearly that, for example, the divorce courts are now toxic for men and are screaming out for reform, since they were taken over by the feminists, in brackets, the fluffy feminists, as seen by the Maskus, in the 70s. The current divorce courts are the way they are, that is, toxic for men, due to the nature of traditional gender roles, and in particular the view of fluffy feminists who have had their feminist consciousnesses raised but keep traditional expectations of men, seeing men as cash machines to be robbed and abused in the divorce courts. The MGTOWs often only complain about the status quo and don't see the bigger political picture and what needs to be changed politically, legally, so that the lives of millions of men can be improved. The Maskus, on the other hand, have a much broader vision, who see that the divorce courts need to be fundamentally reformed so that they operate on the principle of financial independence. That is, the traditional gender roles of the man being the principal breadwinner are no longer accepted, and that women are expected to be as fit as men are. so that financial independence of the two divorcing parties becomes practical. But the masculist theorists reason that that implies that the broader culture as a whole needs to be made FIP. That is, women, young women, need to be socialized and educated to be FIPs by bothering to get a career-competent education at high school and college, so that women do not become fluffy, manslaving, divorce-raping parasites as adults, and instead pull their financial weight as adults and not expect fluffy style to live off the money and labor of a man, which is something the masculists have an utter hatred of, seeing manslavery as slavery and a war issue, so that the masculists are at war against the fluffies and fluffy feminists, aiming to effectively exterminate them by totally ignoring them, not even pumping and dumping them, so that their fluffy, manslaving, divorce-raping genes are wiped from their gene pool. Masculists are very conscious that the greatest example of sexual discrimination that exists is the fact that women have the mara, that's maternity rejection right, but men don't have the para, paternity rejection right, because men are seen by women as cash machines who exist on this earth to pay for women to have babies. So, masculists want the legislation of the para, which necessitates women fipping up. Masculist theorists are very conscious of the fact that so many of men's gender issues would be solved if we lived in a FIP society. So masculists put tremendous moral pressure on women, young women, to FIP up or rot on the shelf, manless, babyless, and spat at. To legislate the para, masculists see the necessity of the establishment of GECs, G-E-C's, Gender Equality Committees, in the parliaments that consist half of female feminists and half of male masculists, so that the gender issues of both sexes are dealt with equally. The masculists will then push hard that the male half of the GECs legislate the para and related men-fair gender laws to reform the divorce courts, teaching society that gender oppression is very much a two-way street. The above political legal masculist thinking flies over the heads of most MGTOWs who have no conception of such things, still stuck in their complaints of the status quo in terms of gender roles, bitching about the massive injustice towards men in the divorce courts, etc. This lack of political and legal awareness on the part of the large majority of the MGTOWs is the source of great frustration that the masculists have towards the MGTOWs. The masculists are thus currently busy trying to convert the MGTOWs into becoming more politically and legally savvy, more mature and longer-term thinking, so that men's lib can move into the major second stage of gender political development and activism, the way the feminists did in the 1970s. There's still a lot to be done for the masculists in converting the MGTOWs into masculists, but at least the need to do that is clear and in the air. Some MGTOWs see the need and are starting to see the bigger picture, but most don't, which is why masculists tend to look down on MGTOWs as politically and legally a simpler species of creature, more naive and more childlike than the more far-thinking and more mature masculists. Cheers. Prof. Dr. Hugo de Garis. Email profhugodegaris@yahoo.com. Website profhugodegaris.wordpress.com. Author of the book Masculism, Men's Rebellion Against Being Man's Slaves to Women, an e-textbook of 570+ masculist flyers for men's studies courses, freely downloadable in Microsoft Word format from my website. Ciao.